Welcome. Thanks for checking out Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. I'm Michael Costello, the lead pastor here, and I appreciate you taking the time. I hope you find this message encouraging and challenging. If you haven't already, check out our website, gcnaz.church, and get all the information about us. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome in. It is great to have you in our online messages. I'm Pastor Michael, and we are finishing our series, Embracing Gratefulness and Gratitude, today. And before we get into that, though, I want to just give you a few announcements to let you know what's coming up in the next few days and weeks that are important that I want you to keep note of. So number one, tonight at 5 o'clock, we have our night of worship. It's going to be a great time of prayer, worship, and praise, and testimony. It's going to be a great time. Make sure you plan on joining us tonight for that. It's going to be a great time here in the sanctuary. Also, this coming Wednesday, we have no activities because Thanksgiving is Thursday. Wednesday night, we are saying, enjoy the time with your families. Do not come because the doors will be locked, lights will be off. So make sure you plan on joining us next Wednesday when we return to our normal Wednesday night activities. Also, coming up next Sunday, we're really excited. We announced this last week. We are moving into our new series for Advent called Joy of Every Longing Heart. It's based off of the song, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, which we're going to sing at different points throughout the Advent season. It's going to be a great time. We're really excited about this. Our kids are going to be studying it. Our teens are going to be studying it. And as adults, we're going to be studying this series, going through the series together. The whole church doing the series together. And we're going to have a lot of creative things. Going along with that, there is no junior church from starting next Sunday till the end of the year, till January, the first Sunday in January. So just keep that in mind, parents. When you bring your kids to church, we will not have junior church. They will be in service with us the whole service. And kids are going to be involved every week in our service. It's going to be great. So make sure you plan on having your kids with you every Sunday through the end of this year. Also coming up in just a few days, weeks, we have the Ladies' Tea on December 1st from 7 to 8:30 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. Going to be a great time for our ladies. Today is the due date for those cards that have the verses on them. We had asked you to submit verses that have, scripture verses that have helped you get through and weather stress and anxiety and storms of this life. And you want the ones you wanted to encourage others with, other ladies with, those are due today. So if you have your cards with you, make sure you put those in the envelope. If you don't have them, and if you're watching this online, please, please, please either send an email or call the office first thing tomorrow, Monday morning, because if you do not, it probably won't make it into the booklet that we're making for the ladies. So please do that. Also, the tickets are on sale till next weekend. Next weekend is the due date for that. So if you have not bought your tickets yet, ladies, make sure you do that. It's $5 for 6 to 12-year-olds, and then for 13 and up, it's $10. And that just helps cover costs of the food. The food is all catered so that no ladies have to actually do the work. And actually, this is just a cool thing to know. Our boys, our teen boys and men, are going to be helping in serve you, ladies. So that's a really great thing as well. Come with your Sunday dress. Come with a teacup if you've got one. Christmas would even be better if you got a Christmas-themed teacup. And then also bring an ornament to exchange if you'd like to participate in an ornament exchange as well that day. So good times coming. And then last thing, just to put in your memory bank, because it's only a few weeks away, believe it or not, Christmas Eve is only 5 Sundays from now. I know, it's nuts. But Christmas Eve is coming. Christmas Eve is a Sunday this year, and so we will only have one service on Christmas Eve, one service only, and that will be our normal 10:45 service. We're actually going to black out all the windows, and it will be a candlelight service in here that morning, and then you can go off and spend the rest of your Christmas time with your families, and we're going to have a good time that morning, so make sure you plan on being here Christmas Eve, December 24th, 10:45, and we'll have a great time together that morning. All right, let's get into our series, our final week of the series. Week one, we talked about the heart of gratitude. And the encapsulating phrase or the thought that I gave you that week as we finished that that sermon the first week, the heart of gratitude, it was this. The heart of gratitude is not just about us, but it brings glory to God. So when we come to his presence and we have a heart of gratitude, it actually returns glory and worship to God himself. And so we are to be a people with a heart of gratitude. And then last week, we talked about having overflowing thankfulness. And I told you that gratitude has the power to change not just our perspective, but our action and our impact. Our action and our impact. True gratitude doesn't just stay within us. It overflows. It quite literally infuses all of our being as Christians. Now, we're talking about our actions. That's where we ended last week. So that's where we're going to be today. Gratitude in action. Now, there are three main ways that gratitude is shown through our actions. And we're going to delve into some of these this morning. So first of all, it's in our giving. And no, I'm not just, you know, being the typical lead pastor saying you need to give more to the church financially, although that is true. We do need to give to the church, to the storehouse, as the Bible calls it, so that the church can do its ministry. That is true. But giving is a heart posture. Our gratefulness, our thankfulness leads into how we give to other people. It changes our focus on whether we believe our things, our finances, our resources, our wealth, our stuff is ours or not. Because if you don't believe that it's yours, if you believe it's God's, then you are going to freely give it because it doesn't belong to you anyway. It belongs to him. And if God tells you to give it, then it's there's nothing to hold on to because it's not yours in the first place. The second thing is in our service of other people. Gratitude in action leads to serving other people. If you're somebody who looks at the world, you look at your community, if you look at even your church, and you say to yourself, I don't need to serve. They don't need me. I don't have anything to offer. Or they're not good enough for my time. Then I have to ask, where's your gratitude, church? Where's your gratitude? Because gratitude leads to service. Because if you're thankful for what God has done for you, what God has done for you through other people serving you, then you should naturally want to serve other people. And then the third thing is this, in your acts of random kindness. How many of you, I know we're online today, how many of you would say that you have been in like a Starbucks drive-through, or maybe a McDonald's drive-thru, or maybe in the grocery store, and somebody has paid for your stuff without you even knowing it? Or they said, pass it on. Pay it forward is a phrase that's used, right? Those are random acts of kindness. Teenagers, those times when somebody, you know, bully or whatever, knocks kids' books out of their hands. I don't even know if you guys use books anymore, but, you know, your stuff, your bag, whatever it is. And oftentimes we just walk right on by, right? We just ignore it like it didn't even happen. But how many times do you just get down, you don't even say anything, you just pick it up and hand it back to the person and keep on walking? That's a random act of kindness. Again, that comes out of a grateful heart. A heart that is bent to gratitude. A heart that is overflowing with thankfulness, as we've been talking about. Here's a problem. Gratitude in our society is often thought of as a feeling. Gratitude is often thought of as a feeling. But what about actions? If it's a feeling, it's not an action, right? There is a conflict between feeling grateful and actually demonstrating gratefulness in our deeds. How many of you know people who are genuinely, they give genuinely? Like it's not for their own benefit in any way, shape, or form. They just give. Versus the person who gives to be performative, gives to be seen, wants people to know that they did this. You see that conflict there? What God is asking us to do is to be the first type of person who gives because they just want to be loving of another person. They're thankful for what God has done for them. God is not calling us to be performative and to get because we give. We also see in our culture, particularly within the church, this whole idea of the prosperity gospel. That if we just give the right amount to God, that somehow we're going to benefit financially from that giving. That is not the gospel. That is not what God teaches us. That is not what the Word of God teaches us. Now, I can tell you that as I've tithed over the course of my adult life, as I have been much freer in recent years with my finances to give away as much as I can, I have found that God blesses my family, that when we have financial struggle, God is there. And we're not wealthy. We will never be. I'm not going to be a Joel Osteen, right? I'm not going to be a T.D. Jakes. That's okay. I'm okay with that. I don't need to be those guys. But God takes care of my family because we're faithful to Him. Then the last thing is fear of being seen as prideful. And this one I have a hard time understanding, but it is a real thing. Some people think that if they show gratitude, if they are serving other people, if they're giving to other people, that somehow people are going to twist that back on them and say that they're proud of themselves and that they're haughty-toddy and all of these things because they're free with their money, that they must be rich because they're just giving away. When we think of the story that is found in the Gospels of the widow who gives up the coin, right? Was she wealthy? No, but she gave everything she had to Jesus, to His ministry. Was she haughty-toddy? Was she prideful? No. She came with a cheerful heart. She believed in the ministry of Jesus Christ, and she gave what she had to give to Him. And that's what God calls for, a cheerful giver. First Thessalonians 5:18 says this. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. God's will is for you to be thankful. Have you ever thought about that? His will is for you to be thankful. Now, you may say, well, that's easy for God to say. He's God and all, so, you know, of course He's going to want us to be thankful to Him and this, that, and the other. But here's the reality. He deserves it. He deserves it. God doesn't come at this as, you need to be thankful to me. That's not the heart of God. But God has sacrificed everything for you. God continually blesses your life. Yeah, you should be thankful to Him. It's really that simple. And God desires for us to be thankful at all times, in all circumstances, because He knows that a heart that is bent towards thankfulness and gratitude is a heart that He can use. God can use people who are thankful, who are believing in the blessings of God. Conversely, if you are not thankful to God, if you don't believe that God actually works, how can God use you? You don't believe He works. God needs us to be thankful in all circumstances. And the truth is, this is hard when life stinks, right? When things are going astray and awry in your life, this is hard to do. And God knows that. That doesn't mean we don't do it. That doesn't mean we give up. Our faith is shown not in how we handle good situations. It's rather the hard ones. How do we handle life in the hard situations? That's what defines us as Christians. I heard it said that Christians and non-Christians alike will fall. The question is, who picks us up? Do you believe God picks you up? Or do you think you have to do it yourself? And who do you give credit for that picking up? Is it God or is it you? James chapter 1, verses 17 through 18 says this: whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. I love that sentence. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Do you know what that means, church? Number one, God is consistent. He's constant. He's reliable. He never fails. He's always there. And then when it says he doesn't cast a shifting shadow, that means that God doesn't have negative desire towards you. God has your best interests at heart. God's not putting negative things around you. That's not who God is. He's consistently good. Verse 18, he chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possessions. I love my animals. In God's eyes, I'm more important than my dogs. Dolphins are a beautiful animal. In fact, for whatever reason, my older daughter, when she was young, she didn't call them just dolphins. She always called them dolphin show, because grandma and grandpa took her to the dolphin show at the zoo, and so they're always dolphin show. Ask Harvard about that. Yeah, she's laughing now, I'm sure, this Sunday. But we are more important to God than the dolphins. One of the most beautiful animals that God created, the dolphin, were more important. How about this? Colossians says that we are above angels. We put angels on top of our trees, right? Because they're beautiful. At Christmas time, we love the angel. Snow angels, right? It's angelic. I mean, that word to us means something that is high and holy and beautiful and wonderful. We, in God's eyes, are more important than the angels. Think of how crazy that is. We are God's most prized possession. How can you not be thankful to God? This passage that James gives us reminds us that every good thing comes from him. All the negative in your life does not come from God. It comes from the enemy. It comes from a broken world because of sin. That is not from God. But on the contrary, all the good things in your life come from him, come from the Father. That is important to remember, church. When James says that God never changes or casts a shifting shadow, he is telling us that God remains the same, right? That he doesn't cause bad things to happen to us. And again, it is really cool to think that we are his most favorite, most important thing to him. I was talking to somebody this week about the movie Bruce Almighty. Now, I don't endorse everything that's in Bruce Almighty. Obviously, I don't believe we can become God, that God's going to take a day off and give it to one of us, the job of being God. But there is something very interesting that happens in that movie. As Bruce is trying to figure out this whole idea of being God for, you know, a period of time, and God's taking his vacation or whatever, he begins to hear the prayers of the people, as God does. And at first, for Bruce, it is disconcerting as he's hearing these voices, and they're coming. There's no stopping, and there's so much prayer and so much thought, and these things are coming to his head, and he doesn't know how to how to handle it. And he tries to put him in file cabinets, but there's too many file cabinets in his house then. He can't do that. So then he goes to the Post-it notes, and the dog is covered in Post-it notes in his house. And he's like, okay, that's not going to work. And he comes up with Yahweh, like Yahoo. Okay, some of you old people understand that. And he just says, yes, every prayer, yes. And then there's chaos. The world just falls into utter chaos because God said yes to everything. And he's talking to Morgan Freeman's character, God. And he comes to realize in this conversation that God can't just say yes to everybody. It doesn't work that way. And then he began to answer the prayers and work in the lives of people and realize that God is actually good, that God actually wants the best for us, that he knows better than we do. And that in that movie, that is a serious, seriously great preaching point for us. We can learn things from non-Christian films, okay? Sometimes they actually have spiritual nuggets that are important and helpful for us. And this is one of them. God is good, and God does want the best for us. And we can't do his job. That's the point. We are not capable of doing his job. We don't know what he knows. God is challenging you during this Thanksgiving season to put your gratitude into action through service, through giving, through acts of kindness. Let's get down to brass tacks. What do I mean by this? Give some specificity, Pastor. What do we need to do? What are you telling us to do this morning? Well, number one, help someone in need this season. And that's going to mean different things for different people in this room and online. It's different for all of us. Now, some of us, we may share some of it, but helping someone in need is different for everybody. Help provide food for someone this Thanksgiving. Maybe you know a family member or a community member that you're connected to who has no ability to have a Thanksgiving dinner. So maybe you just take some of your Thanksgiving leftovers to their house so that they have some Thanksgiving dinner. Maybe you make Thanksgiving dinner for them. Maybe this is a crazy thought, maybe you invite someone from the church that you've never invited before, but you know that they don't have family nearby, and you invite them to come to your house for Thanksgiving and be a part of your family this year. Oh, man, but Pastor, I have a plan for 25. That 26th person, man, I can't do that. You can't or you won't. You don't want to. Maybe it's helping a neighbor who needs it. Maybe you've got an elderly neighbor who needs their leaves raked. And you're able-bodied enough. Maybe you're in 50s or 60s. As we record this today, Rick Gravender's in here with me. So I'm looking at you, Rick. Rick can do this. I know he's able-bodied. Maybe you can rake the leaves. Maybe your kids can rake their leaves. Maybe we need one more grass cutting before, you know, it's too cold and the frost comes for good and you just want to get one more grass cutting in for your neighbor. Do that. Whatever the thing is, commit to doing that. Is that more important than a Black Friday sale? I would say so. I would say definitely. You're not really showing gratitude when you spend a lot of money at Black Friday. I'm just saying. But you are showing gratitude when you go and help someone else on Black Friday. And maybe it's Saturday, maybe it's Sunday. I don't know. But go do something for them this week. Here's another way. Give generously in whatever capacity you can. Now, those of you who are watching online, you didn't get to hear this morning, but we have a presentation that was given this morning in church by Charlie. And we, as a church, believe in the ministry that is happening in Ecuador. Right? We have sent a team to Ecuador just a few months ago, and they did some work. But there's a lot more work to be done. And right now, what we're trying to do is raise $6,000 to help build the ground up because they're in a floodplain so that they can build some more buildings and create some space for their kids' ministry. The church has a kids' ministry now. That's a praise. But they need help financially to build up the ground so that they can do the things that they need to do in this next phase. So if you want to participate in that offering, it's going to be next Sunday. You can send it into the office, snail mail it. It's okay. As my former pastor would say, donkey mail. I didn't even know that was a thing until I moved to Oregon. You can go online and do through our online giving portal. Notate it, what you're giving for. Maybe it's the time that you start giving tithe. Maybe for you, you've never tithed before, but you call this your church home. This is where you do ministry. This is where your kids are ministered to. Maybe it's time to start tithing. The Bible says we are to give the first 10%, the first fruits of our labor to God. Maybe today you start doing that. Your possessions belong to God anyway. We've already established this. Quick story, not to toot my own horn, but just something that I've done in my own life. We talked last week about the waiters and waitresses and loving on them even when they may not be good at their job on a given day, right? So at my last church, I ate Domino's a lot because when we lived in Oklahoma, Claudia worked for Domino's, and so we ate Domino's all the time, and we love Domino's pizza. It's our favorite type of, like, delivery-style pizza that, you know, consumer chain type place, right? I never think about the fact that I tip. It's just something I've always done. I tip well. You know, 20%, 15%, just kind of depends, but sometimes it's 30. It just depends on the day, how I'm feeling, my mood, but I always tip. And there was a guy who was a delivery driver for Domino's back in Oregon. And he always delivered. He was always working the days that I was in the office with our office manager and we'd get pizza or whatever. And we'd always give him a big tip. And he would deliver to our house and he would see the same thing, same person, always giving good tips. He ended up coming to Hermnas. And unbeknownst to me, I didn't even know he was there. The other pastor goes and talks to him, and Eric says to him, "What brought you to our church?" And he said, "Your worship guy up there, the music guy." "Oh, really? Have you met him? Have you talked to him?" "Well, yeah, sort of. He orders a lot of pizza," which made Eric really laugh. He thought that was really funny. But he said, "You know, he's a generous person. He tips very, very well. And honestly, most people don't do that." And on one of the receipts, I started to see that he was at a church. And then I started delivering to the church, and I realized who he was at the church and looked at the website, and I felt like this is the kind of place I want to be. If this is the kind of people that you have at this church, this is where I want to be with my family and my boys. You see, something small, something you would think is not even a big deal in the scheme of life, can be a huge deal for somebody else. Because to him, my tips were investing in his family. We're helping him to raise his boys, to keep food on the table for his boys and clothes on their backs, school supplies. That's how he viewed it. Maybe it's donating to GUM or some other cause that you believe in. Maybe our pregnancy center here in town. There are lots of good causes in town that you can be a part of. The third thing is this. Consider being kind rather than responding harshly this season. We're going to be around family, and family, as we've talked about, is dysfunctional. And family members know how to push each other's buttons, don't they? So maybe this Christmas season, this Thanksgiving week, and then Christmas season to follow, maybe instead of responding harshly when someone offends you, you choose to respond differently. Christmas, driving is always frustrating, right? Especially if you drive on Black Friday. It is the worst day to be out on the roads ever. It doesn't matter if it's snowing or icy or not. People are just ridiculous when they get out and drive for Black Friday, trying to get from one store to the next and all of that nonsense, especially in the parking lots. It's crazy. Maybe hold yourself back from road rage. The words that might come out of your house, the thoughts that might pop into your head, immediately push them down. Maybe, just maybe, when you're in that restaurant and the server is awful and they give you that receipt, and maybe they just kind of set it down on your table and don't even say a word. Maybe on that receipt you write, "Thank you. We appreciate you." My encouragement this morning is to move from feeling grateful to being grateful. Being grateful in action. In order to do this, you got to pray, you got to reflect, you got to be in the Word. We've talked about this a lot. I'm not going to stop harping on it. Those are central key parts of how we grow in our faith with Christ. You need to do acts of service. You need to be a generous person. You need to be selfless. Jesus was selfless. And church, of all people in the world, Christians should be the most encouraging people that exist. We need to be encouragers of other people. We need to build people up and not tear them down. My final thought is this morning. Gratitude is not just an emotion to be felt. It is a virtue to be lived out. That's the long and short of this series. And as we move into the Christmas season, it's hard to say that. It's hard to believe we've already gotten to Christmas season. Choose gratitude this year. Choose to be a generous person. I promise you, God will bless you for it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message. This is as much for me as it is for anybody else. And God, I pray very hard, and I've been praying for our people. Let Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene, let our body be a body that is generous, that is loving, that goes above and beyond to love on our people of our community. Father, we want people to know that we are for our community. We are not opposed. We are not against. We are for our community. Father, be with each one of these families that's represented in our church. Be with them in this Christmas season. I know this is a difficult season for some people. Loss of family members. Maybe it's the first Christmas season that a family member's not there. But Father, lay your arms of comfort and peace around them and remind them that you have them, that you're never going to let them go, and that all good things come from you. Pray this in your name. Amen. Have a great week. We'll see you next week with our Advent series, Joy of Every Longing Heart.